World. Seventh Wave Network.
Good morning, and welcome to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration, which will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Hey, that's us. We're the hosts.
Ariel
and Shia. I'm Shia.
And welcome to Being Here.
Good morning, afternoon, or
evening.
Depends on where in the planet you are. A couple things we need to let you know. If it's your first time with us here today or tonight, we finish each other's sentences.
We do.
So that's our style of communication.
Well, no, that's only part of our style of communication.
What is the rest of it?
We listen to each other.
Oh, my.
I mean, we actually stop thinking about what we want to say when the other one is talking so we can actually hear their communication. We don't multitask.
We don't multitask. Perfect segue to the theme of this particular episode of Being Here. It is Transformation in the Workplace, a communication seminar.
You know, Ariel and I were sitting around talking the other night, and we were trying to figure out how many hours a day, how many hours there were in a week, and then how many hours a day people are either going to work or traveling to and from, or being at work, and how much of work they bring home with them when they leave work.
Now, we can't say we successfully came up with an average number because we were trying to do the calculations while we were lounging around in the hot tub. However, a very likely number of hours is a lot.
That's a lot. That, people spend a lot of their life
work.
Wrapped up with work.
Mm-hmm. Going to work, coming from work.
And actually, time being there.
Not to mention, so thinking about work is the other thing. So, here we go. If you want to have transformation in the workplace, a really good thing to start looking at is your ability to listen. But we want to start even on a step further back, the three principles of instantaneous transformation.
Well, actually, we really do need to talk about listening first. Otherwise, they won't hear the three principles.
Okay, why not?
See, if they've listened to this show before, they'll think they already know what the three principles are about, so they can think about other things while we're talking about that.
Right. Or if they have an agenda, go ahead.
See, transformation happens when you get into the current moment of now. And that happens through listening. So you can't really listen and do something else while you're listening. Now, if you happen to be listening and driving, I'll give you a break on that. But the reality is that when you are engaged in true listening, that is to hear what another person is saying from their point of view, when you're engaged in listening to hear what's being said, it pulls you into this moment of now, and a byproduct of that is your life transforms.
Absolutely. Now, if you're listening with an agenda to fix some sort of issue at work or some sort of communication problem, then you're not actually listening. You're sorting. You're doing a whole different function, sorting to see how what is being said applies to what you are working on in the background.
And anything that you do not see that applies, you disregard because it's not relevant to the agenda of getting ahead. Well, see, we're going to attempt in this show to slow you down a bit, to get you back to this moment rather than some agenda to get something in the future different. See, this moment really is all there is. That the future arrives as a moment of now. And if you haven't mastered the skill set of interacting with your life moment to moment, when the future arrives, even if it's the best future, you'll turn it right into your current way of relating to the moment. And if you disregard the moment in favor of something off in the future, then you will disregard your future as it shows up.
This past weekend, we did a workshop in New York City called Creativity and Intuition, and it was truly, truly special. And Shai is standing here doing an imitation, I'm assuming, of a woodchuck. Yep, there's a woodchuck standing in our backyard. He's trying to listen also. You are so cute. And creativity and intuition, one of the things that was really neat was to watch people drop their agendas to be more creative or get ahead at work or
be more intuitive.
And really listen to each other. And it was so impressive to see what happens when people just slow down, relax, listen, rather than trying to get somewhere. And there is something really magnificent in the human spirit when you are just here to be with people, to be with yourself, and to be here in this moment.
You know, if you're busy thinking about a specific thing, whatever it is, that will keep you from hearing what's being said. You may be able to repeat the words that were said back, but that doesn't mean you actually heard. See, if you allow another's communication into you deeply, your life will transform. Even if they're reading the telephone book to you, it doesn't matter. It's about getting into the current moment of your life, because that's where life exists, not somewhere down the road. Okay. Three principles of instantaneous transformation. They're simple ideas. Very simple, deceptively simple.
And they work really well in all contexts, but since we're talking about transformation in the workplace, at a communication seminar, about communicating, if you resist a communication, it dominates your life. What you resist persists. It grows stronger, it dominates your life. And that is the first principle of instantaneous transformation. So if somebody's trying to tell you something and you don't want to hear it,
then your resistance to it keeps them trying to tell you. Do you have people in your life that say the same thing to you over and over and over, and you wish they'd get over that already, and you wish they'd leave you alone with that? Well, the reason they keep coming back for more or giving you more is because you won't accept the communication. You know, if I were to hand you a box of tissues and you took it, I'd no longer have it. You'd have it. Communication sort of works that way, you know. Actually, it doesn't sort of. It works that way.
Second principle.
You can only be exactly as you are in that moment of now that just went by. In this moment of now, you can only be exactly as you are. You can't be different than you are in any moment of now. Now, graphically, if we took a picture of you with a camera, like a digital camera, you'd have the facial expression you had when the camera caught your image. You'd be either standing or sitting or have a body posture that you'd have when the camera caught your image. You'd have the emotions, feelings, thoughts that you had at that moment when your image was captured. Now, you could have only been that way in that moment. Couldn't have been any different. So the second principle says that you could only be exactly as you are moment to moment in your life. And that's the good news and the bad news. Because no, it's all the good news. It's all good. All good news. This moment is all there is in reality. Yeah, we can have fantasies about being in Hawaii or, well, some other place. Oh, at Beijing, to be at the Olympics, to watch Michael Phelps win all his gold medals. We could have that idea that we should have been there. But hey, if you're not there, you're not supposed to be there. You're supposed to watch it on television if you are.
You could really see it last night when athletes did not perform up to their expectation. Like in for us here in the United States, we were able to see things with the American gymnasts. In other countries, I'm sure if you've been following your country's athletes, you'll see it as well. Where what happened is if they made a mistake, the biggest challenge was to recognize it couldn't be any different, to let it go and move on. And that leads us to the third principle of instantaneous transformation, or the third very, very potent idea is this. Anything you allow to be will let you be.
Anything you allow to be exactly as it is, without judging it, will let you be. So last night, one of the young ladies on the American gymnastics team had a major mistake in mounting the balance beam. She fell off. And after that, she then made, and this person had not made any mistakes through the Olympics up until this point. But after that, she did the floor exercises. She made mistakes. She made mistakes everywhere because she was beating on herself for having made a mistake in the first place. If you make a mistake, hey, that's the only way it could have been because you did that. So now move on. You can either work on yourself, and this really applies to all aspects of your life. You can either work on yourself and complain to yourself about what you disagree with about you, or notice you do something and move on.
Now, obviously, that's a little more challenging lots of times to execute than it is to hear about it, because once you get locked in a conversation with yourself about how you're not doing it as well as you would like, that's the only conversation you can be in, second principle. But if you notice that conversation got activated, like a button pushed on a jukebox, and the next thing you know, you're playing an oldie and not so goodie record. If you simply notice it without listening to that conversation, as if that internal conversation is you, if you can recognize that it is just saying something, then you are returned to yourself. We'll be back shortly after the break.
And please come back and join us for
Being Here.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to three lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. TransformationMadeEasy.com. We all want to be fulfilled in all kinds of ways, to be joyful, at peace, and fully alive. And it all starts with awareness, creating a consciousness-based life. Now there's a radio show that helps you live that life. Listen for Live with the Lights On with host Katie Manna. Each week's show will help you create more satisfying relationships, increase your self-esteem, and your own inner sense of peace. Live with the Lights On is heard every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time and 7 a.m. Pacific Time on the Seventh Wave Network. Create your own life with the lights on.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Ariel.
I'm Shia.
We're talking about transformation.
And we're back. In the workplace.
You betcha.
Yeah, you know, most of our lives are spent in the workplace, or a good portion of it. I mean, you take out sleeping, and you take out, well, what else is there?
And those things you don't talk about at work, if you're politically correct, and then the next thing you know,
everything else is work.
Okay.
So if you're not having a good time at work, maybe you should discover how to live your life in a transformed way, which would be non-preferential, where you don't disregard things as though they don't matter. You see, if you start approaching life with excellence, as if each thing you do actually matters. The qualities that you bring to the tasks of your life matter in your satisfaction level as a result of what you've done or not done.
You know, there is no such thing as your, quote, day job. Everybody has a, quote, dream job. But guess what? You are doing your dream job. And if there is something else in your expression of yourself as an artist or something additional or something else, if you go about your current job with excellence, it will be a springboard into the possibility of what is next. We have a caller on the line.
We do.
Stephanie from Germany.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
I'm great.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Well, you were on the international conference call that we did between 10 different cities all over Europe and here in the States, and so I'm not surprised you're excellent today.
Thank you.
That was
yes,
yesterday.
It was a wonderful evening. I felt very inspired, and I just had a great day today.
Great. Do you have a question for us?
Yes, I do. I work as a freelance designer for graphic and mainly product design.
Yes.
I mostly work from my home office. So
okay.
I'm on the phone with clients and stuff, but I'm basically alone in my office, which is very quiet.
Okay.
Right.
Recently, I worked for a client. I had to work in-house.
Mm-hmm.
I love the job, and I like the people a lot, but the place is very hectic and loud.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And it's normal for that business, but for me, it was pretty unusual. So I felt like I wasn't as efficient and caring as I normally was my job.
Yes, Stephanie, but how could you be? You weren't doing your job anymore. You were doing another job. You were doing the complain job. See?
The noise in your head was more intrusive than the noise
in the people around you or coming from the people around you. Your disagreement with the way your life was showing up in that moment caused you to be less effective because it actually supported your point of view, which was they're wrong for being noisy and loud and upset, and they should be more like me, more calm and
quiet
and peaceful, and then I could get more work done. See, I didn't get much work done today, and it's their fault.
And I wasn't caring.
And so then you become their victim. as though they did it to you, rather than it was a conscious choice on your part to get yourself upset about what was said or what wasn't said or what was done or what wasn't done, and then you could use that to justify not being productive.
Right, yeah, that is true. Actually, yeah, I complained a lot in my head, like, this is too loud.
Right, second principle of transformation. If you are complaining, you're not working. You can only either do your job or complain about.
Right.
You know, you can't do both. So if you're busy complaining, you can't be working. You can't be effective. And there's this justifier in there that they're bad and wrong for doing what they're doing, and they are affecting your productivity and satisfaction, and your protest, internal as it may be,
yeah,
is affecting your quality of life.
Yes, thank you. That's very true. I had an idea that I actually thought I'm resisting my environment and that wouldn't be helpful, but I didn't see how much I was complaining in my head.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Our computer, an earlier version of Microsoft Word that we had, when we would go to print a document, if it couldn't print, it would actually talk to us. It would say, it's not my fault, the printer is out of paper, and I thought that was so clever in a way, because it actually replicated the human mind. It's not my fault that I'm not productive, it's this other reason. So in a certain respect, you were giving yourself an out, so that if you weren't as creative or as caring or as complete, it really wasn't your fault if they didn't like what you did.
Right.
Yeah, it was really their fault for asking you to come in from your wonderful home office where everything is at your fingertips and you know what you're doing, and now you have to go to this noisy place and they're all so upset and it's not peaceful there. And how dare they ask that of you? And look, you see, you don't even work as well there.
Right, yeah, you're right.
But you know what's interesting?
It is.
I actually heard the same complaint in you in the warm-up to the question. Let me tell you what I mean, Stephanie.
Right.
When you were describing your home and mm-hmm. that you're there alone and it's quiet and peaceful, I'll bet you there are times that you complain that you aren't as effective or productive because you're all alone.
Huh.
Because there was something about in the I'm all alone wasn't necessarily said in a way that promoted it as an all-the-time wonderful thing. It was like, I'm isolated. There was something else that you were putting forth, too.
Right, yeah. Well, I never looked at that, but it's, yeah, because in a way, I actually looked forward to work in that office. Because I would be with people.
That's right. But you see, this is so perfect, Stephanie. You're operating in a state called this isn't it. Wherever you are isn't the right thing for you to be doing in that moment.
It'll be nice to be with people, and you're with people. It'd be nice to be alone. So it doesn't matter where you are. There's an extra internal conversation about how something other than where you are would be better.
Wow. I didn't even notice that. At least not here, like when I walk from home. But yeah.
You know, when I speak to you, I think about this morning. This morning I went outside my house, I walked out the front door, and I noticed that the railing, that the banister for the stairs had weathered severely over the years and needed to be replaced. At least the top of it did, because it was rotting from, you know, the sun and the rain and the, you know, whatever. It was not doing very well. It didn't look nice. And we're expecting people here this weekend. So I said to myself, I really have to fix that.
Right.
So you know what I did? I went down my basement and I found the piece of wood that would fix it, replace it. I cut it so it fit perfectly. I removed the old piece. I put a new piece on. And in an hour, everything was done. It needs to be painted yet, but that's later this afternoon after the putty that I use to cover the screw holes dries sufficiently. But it was a simple, take a minute and forget about it for the rest of my life, or it's think about it every time I walk in and out my front door.
Yeah.
And I am certain that there are things that are incomplete in your environment that the completion would take moments, and you spend hours, if not days, complaining to yourself that you have to do that.
Yeah, and there's office things, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I am sure you've heard the saying that it's easy to be enlightened on a mountaintop and it's much harder in the marketplace. So basically, you have the threads of this isn't it in on the mountaintop, your office at home alone. Mm-hmm. But when you get around other people, that way of relating to life gets compressed and intensified, and you think it had to do with the people. But basically, they just took your sponge and squeezed it a little bit, and out came the way you view life.
That's really neat.
See, our approach, if we didn't say it before, really has to do with awareness.
Awareness is a non-judgmental seeing. It's the third principle. It's seeing without judging what is seen. So you notice you've been doing something, and you go, oh, I see, I did that. And then you move on. You do not work on yourself for it. You know, I don't know if they have it in Germany, but there's a show on television on the Discovery Channel here in the United States called The Dog Whisperer with a fellow by the name of Cesar Millan.
I haven't heard of it.
This guy takes dogs that are vicious or very nervous or very upset, and he trains them in right before your very eyes to stop biting and everything, all these other things, because they are a reflection of the environment they live in. And what he says is you have to give correction and then relax. You do not keep correcting over and over. And you have this tendency, Stephanie, to correct yourself when you see you've done something wrong and then work on yourself for having done it.
That's true, yeah.
We are going to a break night right now, but if you can come back, you're welcome to hang out with us.
Oh, well, thank you.
And that goes for everybody else who's listening.
Come on back. Don't miss being here.
Yeah.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Do you ever feel that you would love to have your very own all-knowing guide on tap 24/7? Well, you can. It's called your intuition. Learn how to trust your inner voice. Come and explore with Natasha Rosewood the power of your intuition and how you can use it now to bring more success and joy to your world. Join Natasha on her radio show, I Think I'm Psychic. And you can be too. Every Tuesday live at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Seventh Wave Network. Anything is possible.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure, what's up?
There's this girl I kind of like.
Well, if there's one thing I know, it's women.
Really?
Well, they didn't call me Velvet for nothing.
I don't get it.
Smooth. I was smooth.
Oh.
Anyway, it's easy. You just got to impress her. Show her how strong you are.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
I don't know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt, if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, ugh! Try it.
Ugh!
See, there you go. And you should dress up. Start wearing a shirt and tie.
I'll look like a dork.
No, you'll look successful.
Okay.
And finally, you can start using my cologne. The ladies love it, so don't be shy. Splash it on.
Thanks, Dad.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To find out how you can adopt, please visit our website at AdoptUSKids.org or call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back. Stephanie,
hey,
is
welcome
still with
back.
Us? Stephanie, still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, cool. So, we're excited for you. I'll tell you why. I mean, aside from everything, is that what Shai and I keep being reminded of is that one simple seeing of something simple can have a radical impact on the quality of your life and your work life and your ability to produce and be satisfied. So this one simple little thing, if you recognize that your internal conversation is still running on the soundtrack of this isn't it, and you recognize it and you don't judge it and you don't do anything about it, you are instantaneously returned to your own personal center.
Right. So the mere recognition that you're off brings you back on.
Yeah, thank you a lot. I already feel like something really just lifted.
Excellent. Good. Well, Have a great rest of your evening there in Germany, and looking forward to speaking to you sometime soon.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, guys.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Well?
We have Reiner on the call, on the line, we hear.
We have Reiner?
Yes.
Reiner, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Reiner.
This is a family affair.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and for those of you who have never met Stephanie and Reiner, they're married, and we get to speak to both of them today. How wonderful. Hi.
Yes, it's really wonderful.
What can we do for you today?
Well, I have a question. I'm working as a freelance safety engineer, and so I work for different companies, and, well, sometimes I have the feeling that I'm stopping myself from being more productive or more successful, and I just have, well, I don't have a clue what it can be that stops me from being productive.
I don't know either, but something just came to mind as a possible place to look at. Ready?
Yeah. Yes.
And what Ariel is going to talk about in a moment is very prevalent in just about every human being I've ever met.
And that is to become aware of your automatic no.
Uh-huh.
See, I was speaking to your wife a little while ago.
Yeah.
About how this morning when I went outside, I saw the railing on the stairs, the banister on the stairs leading up to our porch, had weathered severely, and some of the wood was rotten, so I decided to replace it. Now, I've noticed it for a long time, over time, but I've always been going somewhere, you know, when you leave the house or come in, and I just realized I could just handle this right now rather than put it off some other future time. You have a lot of things in your life that you say not now to.
And here's...
Do you see that?
Yes, yes, that's true, yes.
Yes.
And here's the piece that Shia left out for the purpose of simplifying it in the communication about it today. We walked out the house together. I looked at it. I hadn't really noticed it. I said, look at this. It's weathered. We'll have to replace it at some time. And Shia said, fine, you're right. I'll do it now. Now, here's the thing. Not only was he not a no to doing it, he wasn't a no to me. And it wasn't as if I was making the request of him, but the project was requesting of him. And he had the time to do it today. It's elegantly done. It's beautiful. I walked out and saw it. But there's also an automatic no that happens frequently when you've noticed something that needs to be taken care of, and another person points it out as well, where you get defensive about why you haven't done it already or whether or not you feel like it. There was none of that. And one of the things that happens for people is they often don't work as elegantly in concert with other people because they're trying to be
independent.
Or they're trying to prove something, like they're not stupid.
They're capable.
They're not slackers. They're not lazy. So
yeah.
Part of it, too, has to do with your fiercely independent spirit and whether or not you're willing to be impacted by your environment, which is sometimes Stephanie and sometimes bosses and that type of thing.
Yeah, I can see that, yeah. It's true. I can see there are a lot of things that are that need to be done, and I have a lot of preferences, and so I...
The things that need to be done don't meet your preferences.
Yes.
There are things you don't prefer to do, so see, it's like this. Reiner.
Yeah?
You're familiar with computers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, if you have a computer and you open up all the applications,
yes,
is that going to slow it down?
Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, having incomplete projects or tasks or things at work or at home, those incompletions pull on your attention. They distract you from your life, and you become less and less effective and satisfied and productive. So merely by cleaning that which needs to be clean or fixing that which needs to be fixed or getting rid of that which you no longer use, you're creating space in your life.
Yeah.
See, it's really interesting. I look at myself as an example of what's possible for people because I have all of the human frailties and not wanting to's that everybody else has, except I've discovered how not to listen to those things and do what needs to be done despite my not wanting to. I don't make myself wrong when the no shows up. I just notice it and I move on. Now,
And
the idea of having things complete in your life is a great idea. And everybody knows it would be a good thing. But there's a difference between what you know and how you live. There's a difference between your understanding and intelligence and knowledge and how it is that you actually live your life.
That's true.
So you can have the ideal, you know, like that if that you should be complete with things in your life, or you can live from a space of being complete. Your resistance to doing what life requests of you justifies your not having the amount of work you'd like to be able to produce.
Yeah.
There's another cut on this that I would just like to mention to you, because as we're speaking with you, I'm reminded of something that happened in this past weekend for a fellow named Bill. And Bill is not going to mind us talking about it. I'm not saying his last name right now, so it doesn't really matter anyway.
There's about a million Bills out there.
But Bill came to the weekend, and one of the things that just came out, and it was toward the end on Sunday night, was his no to his father, and how much he had decided as a very young person that he was not going to be like his father. And all of the childish judgmental framework, all the judgments about his dad that he had from when he was very young. And we looked at how he's never just doing a job. He's always sort of running out and doing a double check in his mind to see if making this step would be something his dad would do, and if it is, he wouldn't. And as a 70-year-old, highly accomplished artist...
That was 70 years old, who is a highly accomplished artist who teaches art at the largest art school in the world and is a tenured professor there. This man... has been working in art for his whole life.
And he's very successful, but like you, there was a ceiling to his level of success.
And he came Monday night, the Monday Night Alive in New York City, and he said this was the most spectacular day in his memory.
Most productive. He completed 5 incredibly large art pieces, collages, and he was happy with them. So finishing them had been a challenge, and being happy and not always messing around with them after the fact is a whole other aspect.
So there's a difference between knowing what to do and living what to do.
So I don't know how this relates to you, Reiner, but I just thought I'd throw it out there for you, where if there's any incompletions with your parents, for instance, then you're not living up to your potential. You're doing 2 things at once. You're multitasking. You're trying not to be like them, and you're trying to be productive and satisfied in your work life, and they do not peacefully coexist. We need to take a break in a moment here. Are you up for coming back with us after the break?
Yes.
Great. Did this strike a chord with you so far, this conversation about your relationship with your parents?
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay.
So I got something else for you, Reiner.
You'll have to wait till after the break, though. Come on back.
But think about it and talk to me about thinking about it when we come back.
Don't miss being here.
Right.
Okay.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Experience higher love, an archangelic journey into ascended joy and authentic living.
Your hosts, Sri Ram Ka and Kira Ra, will assist you to open your heart, expand your love, and be ever present with true joy.
Your journey with Sri and Kira begins right here on the Seventh Wave Network with Higher Love, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. TransformationMadeEasy.com. What can you tell me about Skills USA?
Skills USA teaches you employability skills. So you know how to deal with people, you have teamwork, your resume is going to look awesome.
Well, it's important to know your technical skills, but not only that, to have soft skills, the skills of learning how to communicate with people.
On the web at skillsusa.org.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. If you would like to participate in today's conversation, please call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. Again, 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back. You here with us, Reiner?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Welcome back. Oh, so what I noticed in our conversation with you, I told you to think about it.
Yeah.
I told you to think about it because I noticed that that's what you do.
Uh-huh.
See, well, there's this gap between you and listening called thinking about it. So you don't just hear something. You then start pondering it. You think about it. You notice that?
Yeah.
So it's not an immediate, we would say things, and then there was this quiet period. But it wasn't just a quiet period, because you weren't quiet in your head. You were up there thinking, chugging away, trying to figure out how it applied to your life.
Yeah.
That's not listening. That's thinking.
What are you thinking about? You know, the thing too is that's one of the challenges with you smart people. You are used to thinking because it's one of your strong skill sets, and that's part of why we have this show Being Here, where you strengthen that other part of you, that presence, the being, the part of you that is well grounded here while your mind is off doing other things.
You know, we recently have sold our first two books, Working on Yourself Doesn't Work and How to Create a Magical Relationship, to McGraw-Hill, and they're republishing those. The first book, Working on Yourself Doesn't Work, comes out
October 3rd. Pre-order yours on Amazon.
October 3rd. And the second book, How to Create a Magical Relationship, comes out December 26th.
That's right.
And in the editing process, On the relationships book, which happened to win the Nautilus Book Awards as the best relationship book of the year last year, the editor, who we didn't know, was re-editing our book, and they made a change that I found very interesting. We said in the book that we had come back from living in a meditation center in Europe for a couple of years. We weren't sure what to do with our lives, so we borrowed a car from Ariel's parents and drove down to San Francisco, where we rented a room, and looked at what to do next with our lives. And the editor changed it to, we drove down to San Francisco and we rented a room and we
tried to figure out
what to do with our lives. We weren't trying to figure out, because that's a thinking process. We were actually looking to see what our life was presenting to us as a possibility. Most people in their jobs think about what to do next, rather than look and see what needs being done and doing it. So I talked earlier about fixing the rail on the stairs. Well, that wasn't something I was thinking about. It was something that was calling for me to do it. I looked and it was obvious it needed to be done.
And sometimes what calls you is this internal niggling impression. I won't call it a voice because it's distinct from the thinking thing, that where you have a hunch that somebody in your work environment may need some attention, and you disregard it because you're going somewhere. And then the next thing you know, they show up in a problematic framework. There's the possibility of listening to that impression, that hunch, that gut feeling.
That natural knowing that we human beings have.
And giving people and projects attention before they hit that state of emergency. And then your life becomes not about putting out brush fires or about fixing things, but about momentum and keeping things moving smoothly.
Yeah. I can see that, and that I'm thinking a lot in my head and not just, well, listening to what is to the people around me. I can see that.
Well, I think one of the things that you should do is go out sailing more often.
Yeah, have some fun, Reiner.
You know, you're a captain. You guys have a ship. You have a sailboat. Sometimes getting out there directly and interacting with the nature and having time away from work can re-energize you just as much as work. Yesterday, Shai was telling me on the break, he went fishing yesterday up at this lovely place called Ken Lockwood Gorge. It's near our home. And I handled a few things here, and then I followed him there. And I took quite a walk to find him up on the stream, and it started to rain, and neither of us had raincoats. And he came around the corner on a trail coming back down toward the cars, and I was heading up, and he rounded the corner, and there I was, surprised, walking in the rain to meet him.
It was kind of like a fantasy dream come true.
And being out there on the stream and with the fish, and there was a great blue heron, and there were giant logs that had been brought down and deposited on rocks when the water had been rushing more and they were up high and dry now. There was something really magnificent about it. And it may be that you also need to begin playing as hard as you're working.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. And we are planning. We have a week off next week, and so we will go for sailing.
Excellent.
Yeah, we start on Saturday.
I can't remember if you guys are coming in September, but for all of you listeners out there, we are doing a course, Transformation in the Workplace, in New York City on September 13th and 14th. It is going to be excellent. People are coming from all over the world. It's an incredible event to tune yourself up, to get yourself centered and your communication skills honed, and to have transformation in the workplace. You're invited. If you want to know more about it, just go to our website, transformationmadeeasy.com, which, by the way, has a link to this radio show. You can go off and listen to the podcasts as well that we do every month, and information, or every week, sorry, in our article of the month, all sorts of good stuff there. And stay tuned, by the way. Tag Online, our wonderful, wonderful internet company, is doing a new
facelift to our website.
So come September, we have a new design, so keep checking back, because it's great now, and it's going to be even more visually stunning. Hey, thanks for being with us here today, Reiner.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Oh, great. Really great.
Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Yeah, enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. We shall.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Ciao. Boy, we covered a lot so far today. It's very exciting, and there's so many more things about transformation in the workplace, like the difference between delegating and abdicating, where you give tasks to people so that they win rather than just getting them off your plate and turning your attention elsewhere. There's whole other things that we can jump into, but we don't have the time today. But we appreciate all of you being with us here today. Share this with your friends.
Please, let them know there's a possibility called transformation that allows people to have a more productive and satisfied life, that we actually have fun.
Hey, by the way,
you.
Mary, thanks for joining us this past weekend. It was lovely having you here. Speak to you all soon. Come on back.
And don't miss being here.
We hope you have enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another exciting and empowering episode of Being Here.